The Art of Living by Venerable Master Jing Kong. Chapter 1. The Education of Buddha Shakyamuni, Our Original Teacher. Quote, education, the field of study concerned with teaching and learning. End quote. The American Heritage Dictionary. Buddhism is an education about our living environment and us. The Buddha taught us to recognize ourselves. Our thoughts, speech, and actions, and the consequences they evoke. Most importantly, the Buddha wants us to restore our original and complete wisdom. He taught that everyone possesses the ability to attain complete understanding of life and the universe, and it is only because of delusion that we are unable to realize it. We are blinded by discrimination, wandering thoughts, and attachments, and forget the original pure mind of our self nature. In this way, we have caused ourselves much unneeded suffering. The Buddha also taught us to view our environment clearly. Environment refers to the people, matters, and objects we come across every day. When our hearts are free from discriminating thoughts and attachments, we will be able to view everything clearly and interact with them appropriately. Thus, we can live in harmony with others and succeed in all our endeavors. What did the Buddha mean when he taught us to cultivate? His intent was mainly to rid us of our delusions and attachments. If we drew together the six principles of practice taught by the Buddha, we would only end up with the practice of giving. Giving simply means to let go. If we can let go of our greed, anger, ignorance, and arrogance, then we would always dwell in purity of mind. If we can let go of all discriminations, worries, and attachments, then we would attain peace, spiritual liberation, health, and longevity. If we can let go of our own views and work together for the benefit of others, then we can achieve harmony with others, harmony in society, and ultimately, world peace. From this, we can see that the main practice of the Buddha's teachings is none other than giving. When Buddha Shakyamuni was in this world, he not only used words to teach, but made an example of himself for all living beings to follow. He let go of all desires, worldly enjoyments, fame, and wealth, to lead the life of a left-home person. He lived a life of simplicity, purity of mind and body, and happiness. Ordinary people might see this as bitter and miserable, but this is only due to their lack of understanding. One with wisdom would view things differently. The wise would see the Buddha's life as one of true liberation, happiness, and fulfillment. The Buddha does not have useless thoughts, discriminations, attachments, or worries. How at ease he is! He accords with all conditions and emanates wisdom in every thought and action to teach sentient beings in this world. The Buddha's live lives of wisdom, while ordinary people live lives of affliction. Buddha Shakyamuni's teachings show us how to change afflicted lives into ones of great wisdom. From these teachers, we will learn how to restore the ultimate and complete wisdom and abilities of our self-nature, allowing us to attain true happiness and prosperity. This is the Buddha's education. Chapter 2, The Four Kinds of Buddhism Today. In our world today, there are at least four different types of Buddhism. The first is the authentic Buddhism, the education of understanding the true reality of life and the universe, originally taught by Buddha Shakyamuni. Unfortunately, the authentic education is rare and difficult to encounter nowadays. The remaining types of Buddhism are more or less distortions of the original teachings. The second type is religious Buddhism. Originally, Buddhism was not a religion, but now it has become one. We can no longer deny that there is a Buddhist religion because everywhere we look, especially in Asia, it is displayed as a religion. Unlike the monasteries in the past, which held 8-hour classes per day and provided another 8 hours for self-cultivation, today's Buddhist temples no longer uphold such a perseverance of the Buddha's teachings. Today, we mainly see people making offerings to the Buddha statues and praying for blessings and good fortune. In this way, Buddhism has been wrongly changed into a religion. The third type of Buddhism is the philosophical study of the Buddha's teachings. Many universities today offer courses on the study of Buddhist sutras, considering the teachings as a philosophy. The content of the Buddha's education is actually a complete university of knowledge and wisdom. Philosophy is only one of its courses. Just as it is wrong to recognize a university as a single course, it is also inappropriate to think of and limit the Buddha's education to only a philosophy. The Buddha's education can help us resolve our problems, from family difficulties to the great issue of life and death. The Buddha's teachings are profound and vast, and teach us the truths of life and the universe. It should not be mistaken as only a philosophy. The fourth type of Buddhism we see in our world today is the deviant and externalist Buddhism. This is an extremely unfortunate distortion which only came to be in the past 30 to 40 years. Religious Buddhism persuades people to be decent, and philosophical Buddhism pursues truth. Neither cause much harm to society. However, if Buddhism is changed into a deviant and externalist path, using the weakness of human nature to cheat and harm living beings, disturbing the peace and safety of society, then this conversion has gone too far. The speech and actions of these deviant and external paths can be very attractive and enticing. One should be very careful as not to be misled by these deviant ways, or regretting would be too late. These four types of Buddhism exist in our society today. We should recognize them for what they are, and think carefully as to which way is most beneficial to us, and the one that we will ultimately follow. Chapter 3, The Art of Living, Selected Passages. Our goal in studying Buddhism is to open up our wisdom. To attain this goal, we cultivate purity of mind. In today's society, our greatest obstacles are TV, radio, newspapers, and magazines. These all contain contents that can pollute our minds. I often persuade people not to read or listen to these things. When our hearts are free from unneeded afflictions, we can live each day in peace and happiness, thus allowing our minds to return to purity. With an undeluded mind, one will see matters of life clearer, deeper, and farther than others. This is because a settled and concentrated mind is a mind of wisdom. The key in cultivating the Buddha's teachings is having a settled and concentrated mind. In practicing the Pure Land method, purity of mind is of foremost importance. The Infinite Life Sutra teaches us to cultivate purity, equality, and enlightenment. Being mindful of the Buddha is cultivating the above, for Buddha Amitabha is purity, equality, and enlightenment. When we recite the Buddha's name, we are reminded of these qualities. In China, Buddhism can be divided into 10 schools. Aside from the two small vehicle schools, which have already declined, the 8 remaining schools belong to the great vehicle. 2 schools, Zen and Xing, enter the Buddha's teachings through the method of understanding and enlightenment. They seek the great enlightenment to understand the heart, mind, and uncover the self nature. Usually, those of lesser capabilities to become enlightened on their own have much difficulty in reaching their goals through this method. Thus, to cultivate the Zen school requires a high level of wisdom, ability, and a considerably pure mind. Without these, one would have to start learning from the basis of Buddha Shakyamuni's teachings. The study of these teachings is to help establish proper understanding and viewpoints. Thus, the method of proper views and knowledge is used here to enter the Buddha's teachings. There are 4 schools in this category: Tian Tai, Xian Shou, Ba Xiang, and San Luan. The practitioners of these schools study and follow the teachings of Buddha Shakyamuni to correct their erroneous views, thoughts, and actions. Most people are capable of learning this method, but it is a long journey, such as going to school. One must start from elementary school, then gradually advance, grade by grade, to junior high, high school, and college. In finishing one grade, one attains the benefit of that single grade. The final 2 schools are the Pure Land and the Esoteric. These stress the importance of cultivating purity of mind. Thus, their method of practicing the Buddha's teachings is through purity. People of all capabilities, regardless of whether they are intelligent or less able, can practice the Pure Land School. All can practice and succeed in cultivating the Pure Land method. On the other hand, the esoteric school requires a high level of purity of mind, making it very difficult to reach attainment. The difference between the cultivation of purity in the Pure Land School and the esoteric school is that the Pure Land School teaches us to cultivate purity of mind away from pollution, while the esoteric school teaches us to cultivate purity of mind in the midst of pollution. The latter involves a state of being immersed in pollution, but not being contaminated. Naturally, this state is too difficult for most people to attain. True wisdom arises from purity of mind. Thus, the wisdom spoken of in the Buddha's teachings is not attained from reading and studying books. The wisdom we attain from reading and studying is worldly knowledge and not true wisdom. True wisdom is the function of our self-nature. Our self-nature is complete with infinite wisdom, virtues, and abilities, qualities that are present in everyone's self-nature, and we need to know how to bring them out. Buddha is purity, equality, and enlightenment. The Buddha's teachings can be summarized into 10 simple phrases. True sincerity towards others, purity of mind within, equality in everything we see, proper understanding of life and the universe, compassion in helping others in a wise and unconditional way, see through to the truth of impermanence, let go of all wandering thoughts and attachments, freedom of mind and spirit, accord with conditions to go along with a situation, be mindful of Buddha Amitabha, wishing to reach the Pure Land and follow his teachings. The first five represent the Buddha's heart and the virtues of our self-nature. Presently, we are unable to completely manifest these qualities due to our lack of cultivating the latter five. Diligent practice is needed to bring out these virtues of the Buddha nature within us. The ultimate goal in learning Buddhism is the great perfection. In all walks of life, Buddhas and Bodhisattvas act as role models for all people to follow. Students of the Buddha can be good examples for all others. Families that follow the Buddha's teachings can behave in a way that is worthy of being the role model for all families. If one is still a student, then one's schoolwork, conduct, and health become an example for one's classmates. This is being a student of the Buddha. In going to work or running a business, one can be a role model for all business persons to follow. Thus, everything in the Buddha Dharma can be number one. A family dwelling in perfect wisdom is the most content, fortunate, and happy family in the world. Buddhism is the education of wisdom. It encompasses all things and exceeds the boundaries between countries, races, and religions. Since Buddhism is an education, followers of all religions are welcome and can learn and cultivate this education of true wisdom. In the Visualization Sutra, the three conditions are the foundation of cultivation in Buddhism. Upon perfecting the three conditions, one will have complete wisdom, good fortune, and virtue. The first condition consists of four practices based on the fundamental morals of humankind. 1. The practice of filial piety. 2. The practice of respecting teachers and elders. 3. The practice of harboring compassion and not killing. 4. The practice of the 10 good conducts. The second condition consists of three practices based on cultivating the self. 1. Taking refuge in the triple jewels. 2. Understanding the spirit of the precepts. 3. Being a law-abiding citizen of the world. The third condition consists of four practices which follow the practices of bodhisattvas. 1. Giving rise to the bodhi mind. 2. Deeply believing in the law of cause and effect. 3. Studying and upholding the teachings of the Mahayana school. 4. Introducing the teachings to others. Altogether, these 11 practices, each having its profound and vast meaning, need to be put to use in everyday life, for they are the foundation of the 49 years of teachings given by Buddha Shakyamuni. Mahayana Buddhism in China can be represented by the great bodhisattvas of the four famous mountains. First is Earth Treasury Bodhisattva of Jiuhua Mountain, representing filial piety and respect. Second is Guanyin Bodhisattva of Putong Mountain, representing compassion. Third is Manjushri Bodhisattva of Utai Mountain, representing wisdom. Fourth is Universal Worthy Bodhisattva of A Mei Mountain, representing true practice. These four great bodhisattvas represent the core of cultivation. As beginners, we start learning from Earth Treasury, for the earth is the root of life of all living beings. Because the great earth nurtures all beings and is the treasury of all that is precious, the Buddha uses it to represent our mind ground or mind earth. Our true mind or original nature is complete with infinite wisdom, virtuous abilities, and talents. We must know how to open this treasury in order to attain its benefits. Earth Treasury Bodhisattva teaches us to be filial to our parents and respectful to our teachers. For in these practices lies the key to opening the treasury of our self-nature. The field of filial piety is vast. Our parents have shown us great kindness in bringing us up and in educating us. Therefore, we should not only nurture their aging bodies, but we should also nurture their spiritual well-being and minds, thus helping them to be happy. This is practicing filial piety. Regarding the practice of filial piety, we should strive to do our best in living up to our parents' expectations. When they wish us to be good persons and to benefit society, we can do so. To act otherwise would be unfilial. For children going to school, it would be unfilial to do poorly in schoolwork, causing one's parents to be worried and disappointed. It would be unfilial if one's conduct was poor, or if one's health was poor, or if one was disrespectful to one's teachers, or could not get along with others. After reaching adulthood and entering society, it would be unfilial to be rebellious towards one's boss, or unable to cooperate with co-workers, causing one's parents to worry. From these, we realize how vast the field of cultivating filial piety really is, and that the entire Buddha Dharma is actually just teaching the way of filial piety. In Buddhism, the perfection of filial piety is only completed upon reaching the unsurpassed enlightenment of Buddhahood. Nowadays, humanity has been seriously polluted in heart, thoughts, views, spirit, and body, thus leading to the appearance of many strange illnesses. The root cause of illness and disease is pollution. If one's body and mind are pure, one will not fall ill or grow old. To not become ill or grow old is true happiness and good fortune. To attain this goal, we only need to learn and cultivate according to the Buddha's teachings. In our world today, where foods have been polluted by poisons, we should harbor compassion, for compassion is the antidote for all poisons. A truly compassionate heart can neutralize all poisons. The Buddha once said, quote, "All dharmas arise from the mind," end quote. Thus, a pure, equal, and enlightened mind-heart naturally brings health to one's body.